We present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday.
April 1945, the Third Reich's 13th hour. Into the blazing rubble of Berlin parachutes a unit of Allied commandos. Their mission, to kidnap Hitler. We present the 13th hour.
Berlin, Friday. March the 12th, 1954.
Peculiar business, their battle for the old Reichstag. The Russians were convinced Hitler was there with his staff, even after Krebs' parley with General Shuikov. Must have been eerie. Fleeing the Chancel Reich, infested with Nazis, and then to have to pass the Reichstag, already filled with Reds.
Captain?
The battle for the Reichstag was a long and bloody one. It had been garrisoned by 5,000 men, mostly ill-equipped and ill-trained Volkssturmer battalions, along with some small units flown in from the naval school in Rostock. Funny, you being drafted into the Volkssturm.
Surely it is unfair to consider the experience as having been amusing.
That isn't what I meant. Yes, the Reichstag. Walls along the lower ground floors had been strongly reinforced with concrete, steel, earth, what have you. And all the windows had been bricked up. So they told me. It took hours for the Russians to break through the walls.
One should not keep recalling these horrors.
Even then, a battle had to be fought floor by floor, staircase by staircase, and room by room. Crashed and thundered on for 2 days. Desperate little war carried on out of sight. Attacks and counterattacks up and down the stairs. Wasn't to end till over half the Reichstag garrison were dead. Imagine. Over 2,500 men slaughtered protecting a useless building.
I really do think those days have gone, Major Longland. As for the Reichstag, nothing remains of it but an empty field.
Nothing remains of old Berlin, really, Fräulein Helm. Can't say I approve the rate at which Berlin is rebuilding. Poor old London still sports boarded up ruins everywhere one looks.
Well, the British can be phlegmatic. Captain?
No. I heard it's the weather. Damp. That's the reason. Or so they tell me. Bascom? Must have been an awful shock to find that you'd taken shelter in the very building from which we all came pouring out of that dark night with the SS men following and their guns firing, huh?
Captain?
There was an old colonel forced to march with the rest of us. 20,000 defeated men, maybe more, marching east to Russia with no hope of reprieve, of ever seeing their homeland again. This colonel certainly didn't. He was dying of a stomach wound. I remember him vividly. Old world discipline.
I am sure there is no need to recall those things if they are unpleasant. We are so near spring now.
It was spring then. When the guns finally fell silent, it was incredible. It had seemed as though they'd been firing since the beginning of time, endlessly. Suddenly, nothing. Not even a rifle shot.
I do remember celebrating victory by getting up roariously drunk. It's really Anne Christie's fault.
Anne?
Manfred Schoeffer, during the war. Remember? We were both rivals for the lady's favours. Seems that we weren't the only ones. Mumford and Holly used her to make use of us. Now, she's a fat lady in Shropshire with kids. No wonder she cheats on her husband.
I don't recall her. There was this rigid colonel.
Ah, yes. With a stomach wound. Didn't make it back, poor blighter. You were saying?
20,000 men shuffling east to be imprisoned in a land they'd nearly occupied and had savagely ruined. The chief guard gave an order.
Prisoners! Forward!
I was herded into the main artery of shuffling thousands. I moved slowly with the current, putting one foot ahead of the other, as though it required great concentration. The men around me were doing the same. They all knew this could well be the last time they would ever see their homeland. Most of them walked with their eyes down, unable to stomach the sights around them. Whole blocks had disappeared. Bomb holes, shell craters yawned everywhere. Most of the canal bridges had been blasted to bits by bombs and artillery, or destroyed by retreating Germans. Sewer lines, strung beneath the bridges, had collapsed and poured their filth into the stagnant waters. Fires still burned. Bodies, covered with flies, lay where they'd fallen. Berlin seemed to have been transformed into a massive cemetery. There was a young German lieutenant near me who kept murmuring to himself.
Oh, could it happen? In heaven's name, could it happen?
I remember the rigid colonel with the stomach wound.
Hier 10 Jahre Zeit. Und hier wird Deutschland nicht wieder erkennen.
I recognize the quote from a speech first uttered by Adolf Hitler in 1933 when I was a teenager. I'd seen it many times during my pre-war days in Berlin, whitewashed on the walls.
I remember it too, as a child.
So simple, so arrogant, and yet so prophetic.
I don't know the quote. What does it mean in English?
Give me 10 years, and you will not be able to recognize Germany.
The war in Europe ended 6 days after the surrender of Berlin, May the 8th, 1945. At midnight.
It wasn't quite so simple for me.
Damn it, man, I tried. I remember when the call came through about you from the Soviets. Colonel Norman told me. He was Mumford's aide.
Yeah, I remember him. Old military type, British.
Yes. He was pretty upset by the whole affair.
Upset?
Resigned in disgust. Mumford was rather shattered.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
No, he was. Took it to heart. Disapproval from Colonel Norman was a heavy thing to bear. Norman felt Mumford's behaviour was particularly un-British. Like a regular cad.
A bully for Norman.
It was an indication of his feelings that he should have informed me about the inquiry from the Soviets. Against regulations. He was feeling strongly about the whole thing, as I said. Probably thought, damn regulations.
I still know there was some order in an otherwise chaotic world.
According to Norman, Holly fairly blew his cool when he heard about the inquiry. It was Norman's pleasure to tell him about it. Holly went pop.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Raved and shouted like the devil. Told Mumford not to do a thing. Said he'd be over in 10 minutes. It actually took him 6 minutes, not 10. So you can imagine what kind of mood he was in.
Oh, yes, vividly.
A white funk. Burst in, smelling disgustingly, sweating in his tweeds. I was there in the office before he arrived. Once I got the news from the old colonel, I had it in. Damn it, Bascombe, I was on your side.
Thanks.
Mumford gave me the full disapproving glance bit. No doubt felt security was getting lax, probably wanted to chew off Norman's ear about it. But knew he couldn't do that, as the old man had resigned. Did you know that Mumford wasn't his real name? It was Adrian Courtney. Imagine. But of course you knew it was false all the time.
I spent my time working it all. I had lots of time to do that, remember? We won't mention the long years spent in Russia, in the cold. If there had only been that, but the loneliness and the cold. I could have coped with that. But they had a lot of tricks besides.
Huh?
You wouldn't know much about that, would you, Longland? After all, you're only British intelligence.
No, steady on there, old fellow. No need to get overwrought.
Captain Bascombe, perhaps you would like a drink.
I haven't touched my first one yet.
No?
I went in to do my bit by you. Caught Mumford at it, hanging up the phone. Was that Holly on the blower? What did you say about Bascombe?
It seems that not only must I deal with Colonel Norman about the sudden decline in security, but I have to do something about your rather demanding tone.
To hell with that!
Colonel Holly appears to have received his own query about your indestructible Captain Bascombe, just as you somehow seem to have been informed. I suppose I can thank Colonel Norman for filling you in. I see you have the decency to redden to the tips of your ears.
Then Holly has already confirmed Bascombe's identity to the Russians.
He didn't say. He's coming here directly.
Right to your office? Openly?
That's right. Does that mean anything to you?
Bloody hell, I didn't think he'd dare. At least not until he gets that promotion he's been angling for.
Good. You're learning, Longland. I suppose I should ponder some word of praise for your obvious ingenuity in ferreting out Holly's possible promotion.
Discipline's going to pop now that nothing remains of the war but formal surrender. I found out by accident.
Well, our species of war goes on forever, disciplined or not. I hope you realize that.
Yes.
Good. Ah, here's Holly now, all eager for the treat. Ah, dear Holly, how are you? Isn't it splendid news about young Bascombe, I mean?
Don't hand me that junk, that damned amateur. He's broken his cover.
How could he do this to me?
Now the Russians will learn everything.
Gee.
Holy heaven, if my boat gets rocked, you'll go down with me, Mumford. They'll cut off your head at the Tower of London when I get through with you.
Always so melodramatic. I look forward to the day when the shifting of allegiances, and national allegiances always shift, might pit me against you, Holly.
What?
But that day, if it ever comes, will be far in the future, I'm afraid. The Russians, unfortunately, are next, as I've known for 20 years.
What are you babbling about?
Nothing. See here, Holly. Operation Export need never come into this. If you are unable to devise some acceptable alternative mission on which we might have sent your man into Berlin, I assure you, I can. The Russians will never be the wiser.
Are you out of your mind? Bascombe has probably blabbed every damn thing he knows about Export. If we acknowledge that damned yellow tailcoat, they'll hang us by our thumbs. Oh, damn it, Mulder, there's only one alternative.
Yes?
We've got to deny Bascombe.
What?
We've got to keep the lid firmly in place. We've never even heard of him, you understand? Then anything he says, by heaven, at least they'll never be able to prove it.
Are you going to let this sod get away with it? He's protecting his own neck, you know.
I'm not. It's political and military policy. A direct order.
There's the rub.
Besides, who's going to miss the bastard? He's a damned orphan. Doesn't even have a family. And don't tell me you're going to miss him either, Major Longland. That girlfriend of
How
yours...
How much more filth are you capable of pouring out of your thick little mouth?
Mumford!
You are out of order, Major.
Well, anyway, I say damn him. We never heard of Bascom, and that's the way it's going to be. Do you agree?
Do I have a choice?
Well, thanks, Mumford. Thanks a lot. I owe you one now. Well, I may be in an excellent position to return favors one of these happy days. It's a difficult position. You hate to jump one of your own people. It helps a lot to know that you agree with me and that it has to be done. I guess the Russians will shoot him or something, won't they?
I wouldn't count on it. Captain Bascom seems to be a survivor. You may be hearing from him again one of these, happy days.
Damn, I'm only doing my duty. Like you. Listen, Mumford. I'm really serious about the favor. Call on me anytime.
So you see, Bascom, old man, I did try.
Yeah, you attempted something.
That retort of Holly's about Anne Christie, you know, I left Mumford's office and went directly to see her.
Oh, why?
Good heavens, man, I should have thought you'd have known why. After all, the poor girl had been in tears when she heard you were alive and trapped in Berlin.
She seemed to have been exceptionally fond of you both.
Perhaps. Well, anyway, she'd been with me when we were trying to persuade this pilot to search the North Seas for signs of your submarine.
My submarine?
The message we received. Anyway, the contact with one of Norman's, and Anne came with me to help persuade the guy to do more than the routine patrol. Only I didn't guess how she was persuading him. When I arrived at the flat, her flat, to tell her about Holly and Mumford's behavior and their final decision, well...
Yes?
Well, Bascom.
Go on.
She and the pilot were... Well, well, what does it matter anyway? So much for Anne. I went and got drunk instead.
You seem to have done an awful amount of drinking in those days, Longland.
Funny. The war ending, as it did after 6.5 years of catastrophic fighting. 35 million soldiers and civilians were dead or missing. Not to mention the millions who perished in the camps.
Yeah, or in Russia, after the war.
You know, Heinrich Himmler never did get to meet with General Eisenhower. After the final surrender, he travelled to Flensburg to offer his services to the rump government of Grand Admiral Karl Dönitz.
Bully for him.
He was turned away. After that, he lived like a vagabond, moving about in disguise, till the British patrol picked him up. He was carrying false papers identifying himself as an ordinary enlisted man. Could have survived a search after no more than a brief incarceration. But his ego got the better of him.
Oh?
Announced his true identity to a stunned British officer and then committed suicide by biting down a concealed cyanide capsule. We're not sure about the fate of the others.
No.
Bormann, Müller, still. The Russians had Berlin to themselves for 2 months. 2 months of starvation, disease, and terror for the defeated Berliners.
I heard the stories. They were horrible.
Red soldiers, drunk on victory, wreaked a stern vengeance on the population. Oh, for the savage excesses of the German armies in the Ukraine and the Caucasus.
Captain Alexei Volkov was right then. He said the Russians would seek revenge.
Volkov?
Yeah, the man who interrogated me. It seems he had a special mission to locate Hitler's whereabouts.
Ah, yes, that. The Russians began to search for Hitler's body as soon as the guns fell silent. They found the underground Führer bunker had been set afire and abandoned by all occupants at least 24 hours before the surrender.
All?
Oh, there were a number of bodies. Some in the gardens, some in the buildings. Some had died defending themselves. Some had taken their own lives. They found the bodies of General Krebs and General Bergdorf. They'd shot themselves through the head.
How awful.
They also found the bodies of the 6 Goebbels children, The burned remains of Joseph Goebbels and his wife.
Oh, he could have spared the children.
What? For the Russians to finish them off?
Then they began finding the Hitler corpses.
What? Yes?
One they discovered on May the 3rd. Then on May the 4th, they found two more Hitler corpses. One burned like the first and one unburned. All resembling the Fuhrer. By this time, they were completely confused, and so they rejected all three. The first one, they rejected on the grounds that it had been wearing darn socks. They couldn't believe that a man who'd moved nations and triggered the greatest Holocaust would wear darn socks.
And then? What happened then, man?
Then they remembered Krebs having insisted that Hitler had been cremated, so they decided that the first corpse, which had been properly burnt, was the Hitler corpse. So they tried to dig it up again.
And?
Oh, well, it had disappeared.
Disappeared?
They searched the grounds frantically, digging up everything. Then they discovered it among a string of corpses laid out in the ruins of the Chancellery. Another search party of Russians, most likely looters, had placed it with all the others.
So they found it?
Yes. It was badly disfigured by fire. But the teeth were still intact. Russian investigators rounded up two technicians who'd worked as Hitler's dentist and instructed them to help them. Their drawings and the teeth of the corpse were a fairly close match.
Only a close one.
After an exhaustive but inconclusive autopsy, the body was transported to Moscow and the dental technicians imprisoned. One for nearly 11 years.
In prison, like myself. Abandoned as a child at the beginning of my life. And abandoned at the end. Yeah, that was a shock.
I guess. I should have brought Formoy to welcome you.
Formoy's alive?
Oh, very much so. Some German women who removed him from the cellar to a church and then to a house handed him over to the Americans when they finally entered Berlin. There's something I wanted to clear up.
Oh?
About Hitler. What do you think happened to him?
Hitler.
There have been rumors. Do you really think he got away?
Why do you want to know?
Good heavens, we all have an interest in Hitler. If he's alive, we've got to run into Earth.
You think you have a right to know?
Oh, damn. Is there anything more I can do for you? Now?
No. Although it might be handy to know someone who's a big shot in intelligence circles.
I suppose you don't want to tell me what you're planning to do you?
Rest a while. Then who knows? Go hunting, perhaps.
Go hunting?
If you'd lost 9 years of your life, would you go after the man who murdered those years? Or the man who tried to murder a world?
Emir Holly.
Or a Hitler.
You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world. Best Sellers is brought to you every Monday to Friday on Springbok Radio at 9 p.m.
That was the final episode of John Lee's The 13th Hour. Roger Dwyer starred as Henry Bascom and Linda Delport, Erica. The supporting cast included Gordon Van Royen, Robert Dalkirk, James Irwin, Sean Taylor, Ronald France, Glenn Day, Lawrence Sillier, and Karen Short. Sound effects for the series were compiled by Eckhard Barr. Audio recording by Johann Stassen. The 13th Hour, adapted by John Kavigia, was produced in Cape Town by Andre Botner.